1320 WILS. So many changes occurring out there in business, specifically how management occurs nowadays. Really dramatic shifts. Well, let's find out exactly what's happening and why. David Berkus joins us, author of the brand new book, Under New Management, How Leading Organizations Are Upending Business as Usual. David, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, David, also a professor of management at Oral Roberts University. When you talk about upending, how dramatic are the changes in business right now?
The way I like to describe it is that the future is already here. It's just not evenly dispersed. And so there's a lot of ideas about how to run a company that were really ideas about how to run a factory. And we drug them from the factory to the office. And comic strips like Dilbert and shows like The Office would not be popular if those ideas were working. It's really about figuring out what should we be doing in this modern age of work. And many companies are already starting to do it, and they're attracting that top talent. And who, not being attracted by companies that are doing business as usual.
Are the millennials somehow spurring this? Or?
You know, I shudder to sort of assign things to certain generations. I think the bigger trend is the nature of work. You know, we're moving from physical work to work that we come up with solutions, we make decisions, we solve problems. That's definitely work that the millennial generation is probably more attracted to. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the nature of the work that's really pushing the change.
Now, chapter one of your book is Outlaw Email. What does that mean?
So email is a great tool, right? It's cheap and it's asynchronous. So we can send as much as we want. We can send it wherever we want. And there's a lot of companies that are finding now it's not a very good tool for managing internal collaboration, right? Because people get overwhelmed with it because everybody is sending it all the time, replying all to everything. Mm-hmm. And it's really not the best tool for that. So many companies are putting limits on when you can send it or who you send it to, or some are even saying, you know what? There are better tools, some of them more modern, like a Slack and other messaging software, and other really old school, like getting up and walking down the hallway and having a face-to-face conversation.
So what are you saying companies literally, well, I mean, how do they institute these kinds of rules to limit email?
Yeah, so they obviously have to come top down in this case, right? You can't just be that frontline employee and say, nope, I'm not responding to my email. But you know, companies like Atos in France is a 70,000 person tech company, literally an IT company, that said, this isn't working. We're going to build an internal tool to manage internal collaboration. And mm-hmm. other companies like Volkswagen and Daimler will set limits and say, you know, off hours, we actually shut the email server off. Or one of my favorites is when you're on vacation, you literally not only do you people get an autoresponder when they email you, but they get a note that that email is going to be deleted and they should email you back when you get back from vacation.
That's
which,
good.
You know, I mean, I'm jealous of that. Yeah. I really am.
Yeah, hopefully it spreads. Talking to David Berkus, the brand new book, Under New Management, How Leading Organizations Are Upending Business as Usual. The second chapter, even more puzzling, it's titled Put Customer Second. How does that work?
Yeah, so, you know, we have this idea that the customer is always right. We probably all had an experience with that line. Probably many of us have tried to use that line to get something that we want. And while that's true, what a lot of companies are finding is that saying that, but also making frontline employees, the ones that have the interaction with customers, accountable to so many different people internally, mm-hmm. is creating a divided loyalty. And the only way that companies can really create lasting customer loyalty, lasting satisfaction, and experience the profits that come from that is by putting those frontline employees first and trusting that they will then put customers first. So it's about kind of turning the hierarchy on its side or maybe even entirely upside down. Okay. And saying that management exists to support the people who are interacting with the customer.
So you're saying less micromanagement, that kind of thing?
Totally. Absolutely. Huh. And giving that frontline person the authority they need to actually fix the problem instead of making them always have to come back to management for approval on a solution the customer wants.
Is this something only very special high-end companies can do, or is this something that's going elsewhere?
I mean, so in putting employees first, you see this at large tech companies of tens of thousands of employees like HLC Technologies. You also see it at places like Union Square Hospitality Group or Wegmans, right? This was an interesting one to me. That's a retail supermarket, which is really not the type of place we even expect high-end customer service anymore. Mm-hmm. But anybody who shopped at Wegmans knows there's a difference. The difference is the employees.
Hmm. Talking to David Berkus, his brand new book, Under New Management. When you talk about hiring as a team, what do you mean by that?
So a lot of times we hire people by basically we have a conversation with their direct manager, and then we maybe have a conversation with the boss's boss. And we make a lot of assumptions from past performance about what they'll be like when they move to the team. But it turns out one of the number one predictors of how successful someone will be in a new company is how well they fit with the team that they're assigned to. And so it's the logical conclusion of that is to include that team in deciding whether or not this person is a good fit for all of us.
So the coworkers actually will decide if you're hired or not, huh?
Right, exactly. And you know, by some studies, upwards of 60% of individual performance is actually explained by the company you work on, the resources you get from that company, and the team that you're on, not the actual individual.
I mean, it can come down to whether they like you or not, then, huh?
Not just whether they like you, but how well you click with them. Do personalities work? Can you communicate with them? A bunch of different factors. But really, it's about making sure there's that team fit to the whole organization.
Also, in your new book, Under New Management, you write about it, you write pay people to quit. That's an interesting approach. Why are companies doing that?
Yeah, so this one actually pays off in two ways. So the first is the idea that when you get through primary training in a company like Zappos, they will say, hey, here's the culture that we're about. Here's the level of service that we provide. If you wouldn't have been hired if we didn't think you were a good fit. But if you think you're not a good fit, we'd rather learn that now than 6 months to a year from now when there's all sorts of performance issues. So we'll pay you. It usually works out to be about a month's salary to leave now instead of go. And, you know, probably only about 8% of people actually take the deal. And I think the 92% who don't take the deal still pays off because now I've had to make you make a choice to not take the easy money and recommit to the organization. And there's a lot of sort of psychological biases that come into play that say you want to prove that you made the right decision. So you're even more invested in making that company and that job work.
Yeah. You say you don't like to look at this generationally, but if you talk about, you know, people 40, 50 years old, how does this kind of shift sit with them as people that have been in business for many decades?
So a lot of it comes down to the nature of the work that they've been doing for those decades. I mean, you're definitely right. We have a lot of inertia. And a lot of times, whatever systems and practices were in place when someone was climbing the ladder, now that they're at the top of it, they're really invested in the idea of keeping it that way because that's the system they know and that's the system that they trust. But like, as I said in the very beginning, the future's already here. It's just not evenly dispersed. We're seeing a lot of talent from all ages are attracted to a lot of these ideas because they put employees first. They free employees to do the work that they want to do, and they give them the resources to do that.
Workers,
a lot of inertia, but if you don't make the change will hit you.
So do workers today, do they understand the term paying your dues? Is that something they're willing to do?
So it's not a question of paying your dues. I mean, it's obviously if you want to move up in a hierarchy and move up in authority, there's time that it gets there. It's a question of really being given what you need to actually get the work done and being trusted to actually do that. There's a lot of research that supports that if you invest in employees, no matter what level that they're on, and you demonstrate trust to them, they're likely to give it back.
And that's and you view this as what? This is a permanent change in the way businesses are run?
I think a lot of these are where we're headed. Yeah, it may take 20 to 30 years, a whole generation, to kind of see this be the new norm. But, you know, it took us 100 years to get to this point. So change might move slowly, but I think these are all indicative of where we're headed.
Finally, one chapter, fire the managers. What is that? So what, the employees run the show, or what does that mean?
I mean, so basically, now no managers doesn't mean there's no management, that everybody has free reign, but a lot of the activities that we've always relied on a specific manager position to do, budgeting, resourcing, monitoring whether or not progress is being made, a lot of times now in the way work is done, the people who are in the individual contributor role doing that work know more about how to do that work than do the people who are two or three levels up. And so a lot of companies are sort of forced to say, you know what, we got to give more autonomy down to these people because they know more about how to do the job, how much that industry is changing, et cetera. So it's a balance. Obviously, there are some companies that go totally managerless, but a lot of them are headed towards flattening and giving more autonomy to the people who are doing the work.
Yeah. You think most companies are too top-heavy?
It depends on the industry. I definitely think we could probably cut a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays, there's so many ways to keep an eye on folks, right? You can do it with software and otherwise. So.
Right. So you have the outsourced idea, but you also have the idea that most of the work that we do in corporate America now is done in teams, and that team can be used as an accountability device as well. You know, so in an individual role, maybe you still need a lot of that overseeing, because everybody can't see each other. But in a team, in a project-based work environment, a lot of the work of accountability is done naturally by the team anyway.
Any of these ideas trickling down to minimum wage jobs, fast food jobs, call centers?
Yeah. So, I mean, even the customer's first one, as we were talking about earlier, a company like Wegmans has done. There's actually, I talk a little bit about Shake Shack, the new fast food joint that is actually, the burgers are fantastic, but they don't pay me to say that. They come out of Union Square Hospitality Group, which is a company that noticeably puts employees first. So there is a difference. I actually think that you see a bigger difference in those companies because, you know, the range of talent is probably a little, and the range of skill set is a little more limited. So the differences in who's internally motivated to do the job are drastic, and those people gravitate towards these type of organizations.
David Berkus, author of Under New Management, How Leading Organizations Are Upending Business as Usual. Find him at davidberkus.com. David, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.